Today, we talked to someone who's made a career out of researching bats and specifically, for the past year or so, has been living and working at the Narracourt Caves in order to track and study the southern bentwing bat. Kristen Lear joins us this morning as she sort of really wraps up her research, ready to head back to the United States. Hello, welcome to you.
Good morning.
You've been here for, what, 14 months now, did you say?
Yes, just about 14 months.
And what brought you here? What was the idea behind that trip?
I'm here on a U.S. Fulbright scholarship and studying the bats for the past year.
Bats. You've got bats back where you come from?
Yes, we have lots of bats.
Really? Whereabouts in the state are you from?
I'm from Ohio, so Cincinnati, Ohio. Oh.
So have you got caves like we've got here?
We do, but this is a very unique situation here with the Narracourt Caves. It's a maternity colony of southern bentwing bat, so it's a perfect opportunity to study the species.
So you'd obviously known about us for some time.
Yes, I did. Before I came here, I did some research online and got in touch with some of the people at the park and set up this project.
What is it about bats, Kristen, that appeals to you?
I think everything. I'm a night person, so working at night is perfect for me. But I think bats are often very misunderstood. So I think trying to get people to understand that they actually are very beneficial to the environment and to us is something
so
I
what
really do, want to
well,
do.
Well, that's a question, isn't it? I've got, because, well, forget about the myths and the Draculas and all the rest of it. What do they contribute to the environment?
They contribute a lot. Some bats pollinate plants. Other bats disperse seeds, especially in the rainforest. And the bats that we have around here are insectivorous bats.
So I was just going to say, some are insectivorous, and others are what, are vegetarians, are they?
Yeah, so there are some fruit bats, not in this area, but in Australia we have some fruit bats, and they help pollinate and disperse seeds, which is very important for the environment.
Well, yeah, exactly, just like the birds and the bees, etc. And they do that. Do they do that by sort of consuming the plants, and then it's from their droppings that things are spread? Or
yes, that's how it works. So they disperse the seeds, and with the flying foxes that eat the fruits, they have camps, and those camps can move around, and then they can disperse seeds that way or as they're flying.
Yeah. So you've been amongst friends for the last 14 months.
Yes, I have.
Have you learned anything that you didn't know before?
Absolutely. There's always more to learn about bats, and with the species that I'm currently studying, we've learned a lot over the last year. This is a critically endangered species.
Yeah, so I believe numbers are declining?
The numbers are declining, and that's one of the things we're trying to find out, is just how much they are declining. And so that's mostly the main aspect of my research, is monitoring the population.
Right. Do you have any idea where they're going or what's happening to them?
Yeah, well, they congregate in Bat Cave at Narracourt Caves National Park to rear their young for the summer. And then they disperse for the winter to over 50 caves in this region. So we know that they're still there, but they are declining. And several reasons could be possible. Habitat loss is one of the big things. They're losing a lot of their foraging habitat. So they may not be getting enough food, especially during drought years when there's not enough water.
Is there any other animal that preys upon them?
Yes, absolutely. Birds of prey, so owls especially.
Oh, they like our bats, do they? See, I love owls, but then when I see what they do, I think, back off a little bit. Mm. It's a shame, but I mean, that's nature. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So they're responsible. Anything else other than an owl?
Yeah, snakes can prey on the bats. Also, rats. Cats and foxes could be possible predators, but it's mostly the birds of prey.
And do they sneak into the caves?
They can.
And take them? Because they're, as you rightfully say, they're a nocturnal animal, aren't they? And do all of them hang upside down to sleep?
Yes, they do. So they all hang upside down.
Why do they do that?
They've just evolved to live that way, and it's just what they do.
Yeah. We're talking to Kristen Lear today, who has been with us for some time now at the Narracourt Caves, but will be heading back to Ohio in just a couple of weeks. Do you intend to carry on with this sort of work when you get home?
Oh, absolutely. Bats are my passion, and so I'm definitely going to pursue that for graduate school.
Are they passionate enough to have those a pet? Do you have one at home?
Oh, no, no. I would never keep a bat as a pet. They're, you know, they're wild animals. They need to fly around and live with other bats. So it's not something I would keep as a pet, but they're fascinating animals.
They are. They make a noise.
They do. They actually make lots of noises. They echolocate. So the microbats that I work with in this area, they echolocate. And that's how they find their food and how they navigate. And we can't hear that echolocation because it's at such a high frequency. But they also do make other noises when they're roosting together in the caves. They have social calls. They chat. You can hear them if you go into the cave.
Yeah.
So they make lots of different noises.
It's a bat chat cave, isn't it,
yes.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. And do they mate for life?
Not these ones. Not as far as we know. That's another thing. There's a lot of information we could still learn about bats, and that's one of the things. But no, these.
So there's no family of bats that.
No, no.
Happy mum and dad and two kids, that sort of thing.
Not long term.
And how often in a year do they breed? What is their breeding cycle?
Just once a year.
Once a year, is it?
So the mom will have one pup or baby bat per year, and that's it.
Just one.
Just one. Yep. So they're not like other small mammals of similar size, like rodents. They don't do that. They don't have large litters, and they can't reproduce multiple times per year, just once per year.
And do they look after their young?
Yes, they do. Absolutely. They have to. And the pups are born hairless, blind, deaf, you know, just like lots of small mammals and other mammals. So they have to take care of their young very, very well.
And they'd be very vulnerable then to
Absolutely.
The snakes and the owls that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So do they attach themselves to mum?
With the southern bentwings, the moms can fly around with the pups inside the cave, but they then leave them inside the cave in big clusters, so that the pups can stay warm while the moms go out to feed at night.
To get food.
And then they come back and feed milk to the pup.
Does dad play a role at all?
No, not with the species, no.
He just does his job once a year and that's it?
Yes.
Yep. Really? He's got no role? He doesn't do the washing up or anything?
Nope. Just the mom.
It's just the mom.
Hardworking mother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, but once a year. So at what point would the pup become mature enough to fly off and do its own thing?
They start flying at about 7 weeks. So that's when they start to go out of the cave and start to forage on their own and start to learn how to live on their own. And then by the end of the spring, they're ready to leave. And that's when they all migrate to the wintering caves, and that's when the pups are on their own.
When you talk about the radar, I suppose, and the echo, mm-hmm. is it with the echo you talked about?
Yes.
Because I had one in my house the other day, and mm-hmm. someone said, well, all you got to do is open the doors at night and mm-hmm. it will eventually go out. But I thought it's going to bang into me or it's going to bang into something, but mm-hmm. it doesn't. It comes very close.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something that says, oops, no, I won't go
there.
Yeah,
absolutely. Their echolocation is very, very good. So they can avoid, they can detect a human hair, very, very small objects. And they don't want to get near us.
No, of course not. Can they see us at all?
They can. So all bats can see. No bats are blind. And they all can see, and they all do see, but they mostly use echolocation at night when it's very dark.
I wonder why that saying has come around, blind as a bat.
Just another one of those myths.
But I can understand it because this echo sounding that they rely heavily on
is
seen to be their form of sight, isn't it, as much as seeing through the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yep. And because they're out at night, you know, I guess people don't understand them, and they can't see them. Like, you can see birds flying around during the day, but you can't see bats flying around, even though there's many, many flying around. You just can't see them, so people don't understand them.
Now, as well as being here with us for a while, you got a trip to Europe.
Yes.
Where did you go?
I went to Hungary.
To do what?
To attend a bat conference. So it was an international cave roosting bat conference. And it was a very small conference, but it was great to get another aspect of bat research.
And you
Europe.
Actually did a presentation
did.
On the Narrecourt bats,
mm-hmm.
did you?
Yes. So I presented the work I've been doing here the past year and then just learned about some of the research going on in Europe, which was really, really a great opportunity.
Is there a sort of a, a mecca, if you like, for bats in the world? I mean, with the passion you've got, is there a place that you would really, really like to go to study them further?
I mean, there's lots of places. And that's one of the great things about bats is that they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So I could go anywhere to study bats. And there's so many opportunities. So I guess I just have to decide what, kind of what aspect and where I want to go.
And just finally, their form. I mean, I know about the wings, but they're actually, take away the wings. What have you got? Have you got really something equivalent to a mouse or a rat? Is it something similar to that?
It's similar size, and they are mammals, just like rats and mice. But they're very different. They're a whole different group of mammals, and so their body structure looks different. They don't run. You know, their arms and their hands are actually their wings. So it's really neat. If you look at the wing of a bat, they actually have fingers, and that's what makes up the bones in the wings. So that's their front legs, pretty much.
Yeah, you do that well on radio. That's good. I think if in another life you'll come back as a bat.
It wouldn't be bad.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
Kristen, it's lovely to catch up with you again. And you're heading home in a couple of weeks.
Yes, in about 3 weeks.
And you haven't been back in that time. You've been to you've been to Hungary, but you haven't been back to Ohio that time.
No, I haven't.
You managed to keep in touch with family and friends,
Absolutely. It's... it's been great here, making new friends here, but I am very excited to go home.
I'll bet.
And see everybody.
Well, safe journey, and thank you
very much
indeed for your time.
Thank you.